We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. We're going to invite Brother Jack Mitchell to come and share with us a report on what they have been up to. We just got to see them this morning, just a few minutes ago, so they're going to be in and out, but they're in right now, so come on up, brother.
That's our life these days, in and out, one place to another, but we're thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to still be able to serve Him. This would be 2026 will be our 30th year of ministry, which is hard to believe because we're so young, but we're really thankful to the Lord for all that He does for us and opportunities He gives us to serve. And we're thankful for churches like Fellowship Bible Church who stand with us, partner with us in ministry. And we couldn't do it without people like yourselves praying for us, and we really appreciate that, especially when things get a little tough, when some of the places we go and such. So really appreciate you and thank you for your prayers. I know some have been praying for my knee, and I still have it. It's still my own knee, but they want to put someone else's knee in there, so I haven't done that yet, but that's the next step. But with our schedule, particularly for this year, probably won't be till next year if I can wait that long. We'll see. But thank you for that. And on the last trip to Israel, the Lord really helped with that. So anyway, I don't want to take too much time. I want to really explain a little bit about what our ministry was in Israel. So we went to Israel for 4 weeks. This year. Last year, we also went for 4 weeks. That was the first time, I believe, that we did 4 weeks in Israel. And I'll explain a little bit why we're doing 4 weeks. Normally, our trips are 2 weeks. For a couple of reasons. One, it's usually kind of busy, and that's a lot to do in 2 weeks. And the other thing is we have to bring all the supplies we need to those locations, so we can't bring too many things at one time. So, but Israel is a little bit different. We actually buy our medicines right there in Israel, which is mandatory, really. We can't bring medicines into the country. And also the Lord has opened up huge doors for the ministry in Israel, which we'll go through here a little bit this morning. And obviously, you know what's going on today in Israel. I mean, and so we don't know what the future holds there. We're already making plans to go back in January of next year, 2027. But we don't know if that's going to happen or if it does happen, where we're going to be. So we just trust the Lord with these things. So our ministry, I'll just share a little bit of the history. I think it was 2000 and, about 10 years ago, my wife and I were in a missions conference in Colorado, and, I was assigned to share, a message regarding unreached people groups. And as I researched unreached people groups, I found out to my amazement and probably I should have known it, but at that time, and it still pretty much remains about the same today, that 43% of the world's population is unreached with the gospel, 43%. And so there's 9 billion population is 9 billion of the world, so it's about 3 to 4 billion people. Billion that are unreached with the gospel. So I was really convicted by that, and you know, just in prayer and and talking with the Lord about it, really had a burden to try and have our ministry involved with unreached people groups as much as we could in the last part of our ministry. And so we were focusing on, we've been to Indonesia and we've been to a couple other places, northern Iraq. But the Lord really burdened me for the West Bank of Israel. Now, if you say West Bank when you're in Israel, they will correct you. They will say, you mean Judea and Samaria. So so I have to adjust my speech for what kind of audience I have here. But so you can see on the map on your left side that this is Israel. I'm not very good with my hands. Anyway, so this is the West Bank part of Israel. They call it the West Bank because this is the Jordan River. It's on the west bank of the Jordan River. And this is the area of Jerusalem right here. That is kind of on the border. Jerusalem is kind of divided. They call it East Jerusalem is mostly Muslim area of Jerusalem. And then the rest is a mixture of different groups. So I've just taken this part of the map and enlarged it over here just so we could explain what we've been doing. So in, I think it's 2017, I have a friend who has a ministry called Shalom Ministries. And as I had mentioned, I had been burdened for the West Bank of Israel. And he sent me an email one day and he said, Jack, would you ever be interested in having ministry in the West Bank? And so, you know, when something like that happens, you know, you have to say, well, I'm sure that's from the Lord. And so we decided to go in 2017, I believe it was. And we were in this area of the West Bank, and a place that city name is called Zebadi. But the city, a young man was raised who became a Christian. That city years ago was 70% Christian and 30% Muslim. And but today it's kind of reversed. It's 70% probably Muslim and 30% Christian. And by Christian, a lot of it would be Orthodox or Roman Catholic Christians, but this young man was raised in a Bible-believing Christian home, and he went on to go to school in the States and went to a Bible college in the United States and went back to that city of Zebadi to start a church. And so it's a very, very small church in that northern part of the West Bank, and it's interesting, but it was the Christians, the Orthodox Christians, who really discouraged him from starting a church there, but he did. And so we had ministry with him in that city in 2017. And so it's interesting how the Lord works as we went. There were, I think, five of us that went on that ministry, and it was very discouraging. we didn't really see much fruit. It was the first time this pastor had done anything like this, and so it was discouraging to us in a number of different ways. But behind the scenes, the Lord was working, and it reminded me of the verse in Zechariah 4:10 where it says, "Not to despise." Small things. And so that was when Zerubbabel was building that wall around Jerusalem. And so that was definitely a small thing. We didn't think anything was going to come of that. But what happened was a number of the mayors around that city found out that we were there. And they all were emailing this pastor for us to come back the next year. Well, we couldn't go back the next year, so we went back 2 years later. And we went to four different villages or little towns around that city of Zibabdi. And we had a wonderful ministry. It was just really great. We had an opportunity to share the gospel with a number of those, the people and the mayors that we were involved in. And we started making plans for expanded ministry in that part of the West Bank. So here was the first time, and then we went up here. Now, not on the map here is a city called Jenin. Now, Jenin is they called it a refugee camp. It was a lot of people who, Muslim people who were displaced when Israel got the land, and they moved to that part of the West Bank. And they lived in this refugee kind of like neighborhood. And it was, you know, high-rise buildings, cement buildings and such. And so we actually, that first time we went, had ministry in that refugee camp. Well, if you wanted to go to that refugee camp today, you wouldn't be able to find much of anything there because that was an area where a lot of young men were being trained to be terrorists. And Israel has since kind of almost leveled that city of Jenin. Now, we thank the Lord for sometimes not letting us know what is actually going on, because we actually had ministry right in that camp the first time, and we didn't really realize where we were, but we thank the Lord for his protection. So that was our plan, was to go back after we went to those four villages and to expand up in this part of the West Bank. And then the war came, or the COVID came first, and then the war in Gaza down here. And so we have been unable to really get back to that area because it's not the, we'll say, safest place to be. And so so we didn't know what to do. We made plans to go back there. And then at the last minute, that area was closed to us. And so we talked with our partners there, and it turns out that the pastor from up here, his wife's sister, I probably have this wrong, but his wife's sister is married to a pastor down here in Bethlehem area, and in also in the West Bank. And so he encouraged us to come there. And so so we went there. And we had, again, a wonderful ministry in that part of in that part of the West Bank. And same thing happened there. All these mayors in little villages around there were asking for us to come and have ministry with them. This Christian medical team, they wanted to come to their villages. And so we planned to go back there 3 years ago, and all of a sudden we couldn't go back there because of the hostages. Remember the hostages that were being released when the Palestinians were releasing hostages? Israel was releasing prisoners, and a lot of the prisoners were going to this area where we were, and so Israel actually closed off access to that part of the West Bank. And so that happened kind of at the last minute as we were preparing to go. And so we ended up going the next year to actually Israel, because of the war down here. A lot of the Israeli men were serving in the military, and Israel had a lack of men to do labor in the country, construction workers. And if you travel in Israel today, you see a lot of construction going on, high-rise buildings, apartment buildings and such going on. And what they did was opened up visas to 25,000 to 50,000 Chinese men. And they have come to Israel, and they are doing a lot of the construction work in the buildings and on the roads. And the situation had increased or deteriorated as far as the Israeli men. And so Israel has also given out visas to Sri Lankan men, Filipino people, both men and women, and African people, both men and women, to come into the country. And so we've had now have a ministry with those groups as well. But our focus, as I said, started in the West Bank, and that is still our goal, is to get into the West Bank. And so along the way, one of our partners in Israel attends a church there, a good Bible-believing church in Jerusalem, and it's kind of a multi-ethnic church, really sound Bible teaching. And in that church, there are a lot of people that have contacts with these groups that have been brought into the country, the Chinese groups and Sri Lankans and such. And so we've had now ministry with those groups in the last couple of years. And the Chinese men in particular are very open to the gospel. And so it's really neat to be able to have ministry to them. And so, but our focus has always been the West Bank. And so we were able last year to come down here to a city next to, you can't see it and read it here, but it's Hebron. You know that from the Bible. And this city just next door to it. Now, the situation down here is very similar to the situation up here. And so they asked us to come down here, and that was something that we really needed to pray about. And so we went last year, and we actually work there it's a Palestinian-run clinic for disabled children. And we don't treat the children, but we work in that building. But it's a good avenue when, I'll just share a little bit, when we leave here, we normally go down here to Beersheba, and that's where one of the locations where we treat the Chinese men. And so as you exit the West Bank into main part of Israel again, you have to go through an Israeli checkpoint. And so when they ask, okay, where have you been? and we tell them we've been here, they don't particularly like that. They're not mean or anything like that, but they really examine all of our stuff. We this year, more so than in the past, and it took us, maybe close to 2 hours to get through that checkpoint. They took everything out of the van. We were in a van. There were 10 of us. They took everything out, and they put everything through the screening thing, the rate, whatever. So along the way, God has also opened up the door for us. So Jerusalem was here, around this area of Israel, almost on the border. God has opened up doors to Bedouin communities. Now the Bedouins are traditionally nomadic peoples. They're sheep herders, and the Bedouins used to be in both Israel and in other countries around Israel. But a lot of them now have settled in Israel and in the West Bank, and they just kind of find places, abandoned buildings and tracts of land that no one wants and such, and they set up communities there, usually kind of family-run, and I'll show you some pictures about that in a minute. But these Bedouins are... If you ask them if they're Christian or Muslim, they identify as Palestinian Muslims. But they are sort of outcasts from the traditional or the structured Palestinian authority. And so they get no money, no nothing, no help from the Palestinian authority. And also because they're Palestinian, they get little help from Israel. And so they're kind of on their own. And they're very closed. Very, very difficult for outsiders to gain access to these communities. And because of that church that I mentioned in Jerusalem, we've been able to get now into two or three, I can remember now, of these Bedouin communities. And again, the same thing is happening there. The door is like wide open for us to go back. They're begging us to come back. We had to expand the day on this trip in one of those communities. So really, the God is really working in a lot of these different areas. And I was reading. I have this devotional book. It's called Daring Decisions. And there's a story. This is it's kind of like a 30-day devotional book based around missionary stories. So each day is a different story. And it gives a little snippet of the missionary's ministry and then application from that for us. And I just happened, while I was in Israel, to have this book with me, and I was reading through it. And I came across a missionary by the name of Luke Bickle. I had never heard of him myself, but he was a missionary to Japan years ago, 1866 to 1917. So he was a seaman. He liked to sail boats and stuff. And so he had this goal to have a boat in Japan and go from place to place in Japan. And it was, his story is filled with a lot of setbacks and such, but eventually he was able to do that. And I just want to read a little section here of this book, because it reminded me of kind of what we're doing, particularly in the West Bank there. So it says here, he and his family arrived in May of 1898, and they began to learn Japanese and oversee the building of their ship. They called the vessel the Fukuin Maru, meaning gospel ship. 1 year later, the Bickles made their first gospel contact. He clearly understood his mission, though, to bring the gospel to the unreached. He summarized their plan. We will never go to any place in which any one of any denomination has any work. The work shall all be advance work. Like the Apostle Paul, Bickle sought to go where the name of Christ was not named, Romans 15:20. To this end, Bickle served as a conduit, bringing Japanese believers to reach Japanese people of the Seto Inland Sea. With limited theological training and basic Japanese, Bickle sought to establish gospel beachheads, inroads for the gospel, basically. And that's why I have there gospel beachheads. It just reminded me of that, because we're in and out of different places here in the West Bank. Now, what we've been trying to do is we just don't go in by ourselves. We bring people with us who can follow up with the ministry. And so that's really important, that you have somebody that can follow up with ministry. So I'm going to go through the slides and kind of tell the story of some of these places that we've been, have some pictures of them. But this year we had, as I mentioned, we were there for a month. And so we kind of divided into two-week ministries. Now, there were six of us that went for the whole month, my wife and I and two other couples. And then on the first trip, we had five other people. So the first 2 weeks, we had five other people that came. And then the second 2 weeks, we had 10 other people. Four other people that came. And so there was a switch, five left and four new came. And so the first week, the first 2 weeks, we had 11 people, and the second 2 weeks, we had 10. Now, that's just detail, but the reason why I mention that is because we have seen, my wife and I, over the years, that sometimes we have these fears that are really unwarranted about sharing the gospel. And I forget exactly, you know, my age does not allow me to remember anything anymore. And so I forget exactly how many years ago it was that we were in Vietnam. And we had ministry in Vietnam for several years, some of you know. And our ministry there was mostly treating young children in schools, preschool-age children. And we were working with a missionary there from the States, and he was very interested in us coming, but he kept warning us about being too vocal about our religion, what we believed, and even to the point where he would say, you need to be careful about mentioning, you know, God and that, because you can get in trouble. And so, you know, we were like, it was really hard for us because, you know, in the States, you're really used to mention, you know, talking about what you do and talking about the Lord and, you know, all of that. And so it was really kind of awkward. But I remember one day we went to this particular school, and the entrance to the school had a sign up as you entered the building, and most of it was in Vietnamese, except for two words, Missionary Association. And so I looked at that sign and I said, they are welcoming us as missionaries. And so I said to my wife, if they're welcoming me as a missionary, I'm going to act like a missionary. You know, I am not going to be afraid to tell them who I am and what I believe. And so it was a little bit difficult because we were with that same missionary there. And it's different for him because he's there permanently. And he's kind of, you know, has been, actually he has been invited to leave. He is no longer there. He was invited to leave because he was a missionary. But he was protective of his ministry to some extent. And so, but for us, we're like, you know, okay, we're gonna be bold. And so I couldn't speak any Vietnamese, and I can barely speak English, but we decided to put tracks out as we had our clinic times there. And because a lot of the young children, either their teachers brought them or even their parents brought them. And so we had a lot of people coming in and out. And so we had these gospel tracks out where they could take them. And if they wanted to take them, they could. If they didn't, they didn't have to. And so what happened was they started reading them. And several people were very, very interested. And so really the missionary had several really good opportunities to share the gospel with some of these people. And we went to one location the last time we were in Vietnam. We went to one location, and some of you are old enough here probably to remember the My Lai massacre, which occurred during the Vietnam War. And so that's the area of Vietnam where we ended up being. And so as we had ministry there, we were doing the same thing. We had the tracts out, and people were reading them, particularly the man that was driving us, who was a Vietnamese communist, and very, very interested in asking a lot of questions to the missionary. And then one day, during the morning time, two people came, and they were, they identified themselves as reporters for a local newspaper, and they wanted to interview the missionary and ask what we were doing there. And so they did, and we went to lunch, and when we came back, there was a communist official there. And one of the reporters had seen the tracks out and took one of the tracks and brought it to this communist official. So this communist official came back and told the missionary, your ministry is finished here. It was actually our last day anyway, but they stopped the ministry right there, and they told us that the next day they were going to take us sightseeing. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, they're mad at us. They're stopping our ministry. They're going to take us sightseeing. Well, what they did was they took us to the site of the My Lai massacre, and they wanted us to participate in seeing a video of it and all of this, but we declined to do that. But I actually told my wife, they're going to take us out in this truck into this field, and they're going to open the door, and they're going to shoot us. She didn't really like that, but it didn't happen, thankfully. But we just saw during that time that we don't have to be afraid. You know, if God is opening doors for us, we shouldn't be afraid to walk through those doors. We need to use a lot of wisdom, but, you know, they're not going to kill you. The worst, I tell people, the worst they can do to us is take our passport and say, you need to leave the country or whatever in these places. But anyway, they told us at that time, this official that came, she pointed to the missionary, and she's like this with her fingers, and saying, there are no Christians here. She really made it a point to tell them that in that area, no Christians. And that night in our hotel, we had about 10 or 15 house church Christians come and visit us in our hotel. And we had prayer and fellowship. They shared testimonies and all that. So God is at work in some of these places that really we're afraid to go. But God is everywhere, and he's going to be helping everywhere. And so in this year in Israel, I really encourage the people that came to help us to not be afraid. We have seen in the West Bank that the people that we minister to there are very nice people. The Palestinian Muslims. Now, when you talk about Muslims, you know, not every Muslim is a terrorist. You know, it's just like, you know, in the States, not everybody is a criminal. You know, I mean, people are people, and so in the West Bank, we have very good friends there, Palestinian Muslims that are very good friends, and we trust that will lead to opportunities. And so, anyway, I really encouraged our team members to not be afraid and to be bold. And it was just really a joy for me to listen to what they were doing, particularly in the West Bank, that they were not afraid to share with the people that we were working with their faith and to have, you know, dialogue with them. And so we trust the Lord will use that. And like I said, these places, they know we're Christians, but they're begging us, really begging us, to come to their villages for ministry. And so we just take that as an opening from the Lord and trust the Lord that he'll bring fruit from those things. I want to share, I have a list of things. Sometimes we are in a ministry, and I'll tell you honestly, personally, this ministry in Israel this year, the 4 weeks there, were extremely difficult. It's hard to really expand on that too much, but we had to move from place to place to place to place. And from one day to the next, we didn't always know what we were going to do and so on. But it was extremely difficult personally for me. And so sometimes in those situations, you miss what God is doing. And so we send out a newsletter, Tooth Tales newsletter, and went out after that trip. And by the way, I do have a sign-up list back there if anybody wants to get on the list for that newsletter. But my wife listed all of these praises from that trip, and I just want to read through them for you. And then some of these I'll explain as we look at the pictures in a minute here. But it started off by telling, she mentioned here that, praise the Lord that my knee held up during lots of use on the trip. Now, Israel is not a flat country. I don't think, you know, you can find a place where you can walk a mile where it's flat. Now, that's an exaggeration, but there are so many hills and steps in that, and steps and hills are the worst for my knee. But praise the Lord. I mean, there were a few days where it was really a problem, but for the most part, it held up. And then the next praise, being able to share the gospel with last year's guide once again. So because we enter the country as tourists, we have to tour, which is a sacrifice. No, not really, you know, in Israel. And so we had a guide last year and this year for just a few days. And this guide was a young Jewish man, very willing to talk about his faith, Jewish faith, But we really, this year, had a really wonderful opportunity to share the gospel again with him. And so, you know, building on relationships that you have, that's really, I would say, the base of this mission ministry is to build on relationships year to year. That's what we hope to do. And she goes on to say, a Sri Lankan female patient was led to the Lord by our physician's assistant. That was really exciting, and I'll show you a picture of that. Another praise was a Chinese construction worker saved at one of the locations. Our Muslim van driver hearing our morning devotions as we drove out to our clinic sites in his van. Our medical team member, one of our medical team members who is a nurse, emergency room nurse, recognizing a man was having a stroke and getting him to a hospital in time for life-saving treatment. A patient needing a urologist, and we had one on our team. Wonderful evangelistic messages shared by three of our team members during our clinic times to the patients. Four local Christians unexpectedly coming to translate for us when the need was great. The opportunity for our hygienist to share the gospel with two inquiring Jewish women. One of our first-time team members sharing the gospel with a seeking Muslim. The special treat of seeing friends on a tour of Israel with one of our supporting churches staying at this same hotel that we were at. And then the biggest praise of all was that God gave us safety in a volatile part of the world. And I'll tell you, it's a volatile part. You're seeing it now of the world. So I'm going to just go through these pictures with you and explain a little bit about what I've just talked about here in the different places. So the Bedouins, I mentioned, they're nomadic people traditionally, but now they're mostly stationary. So they just set up shop or communities in different places. And you can see how, you know, this is not something you probably would want to, someplace you would probably want to live at. But I'll go back to this first picture. We actually couldn't drive up to where we were working. We had to carry our stuff up a road, a dirt path here, to bring it up to where we were going to have our ministry, which would be up in here. And so this is where we, in these two buildings, this is one building here and this over here. Now, very unusual to have cement walls, but the building we were in had cement walls, and the other where the medical people were, they didn't have the cement walls. But again, we were in this place. This is our dental office set up there. This was in somebody's actual bedroom. And their bedrooms consist of mats. It's an open room with a bunch of mats that people sleep on. There's no privacy in these places. And they just picked up all the mats when we came. I have this picture up because this shows all of our dental equipment and supplies. And so we have the dental equipment and supplies, and we have the medical supplies, the medicines and other things. And we had to pack this stuff up every day. Not every day, but most of the days. So we were there for a month. And so probably three-quarters of the time, we had to pack these things up at the end of the day and then bring them back to the hotel where we were staying and bring them out to the next location the next day, set it up, pack them up at the end of the day, and so on. That's one of the reasons why it was a very difficult trip for us. And so in this Bedouin community, we were able to treat a lot of people that were related to another Bedouin community, kind of across the highway from there. And so the next 2 days, we were in that location. We were only going to be there for one, but again, they were begging us to come back the next day. And so we ended up doing that. And so here we are. And because we tried to accommodate a little bit with their traditions, and so my wife was wearing, and the women on our team were wearing head coverings in this location. And so we're treating both adults and children here. And this is our our team of people that were part of the ministry. Now, some of these were from the States, mostly the people on this side, and then some were from that live in Israel. So this man here is actually a medical doctor, and this lady here is his wife, and she translated for me. He translated for the doctor, our medical doctor, which is back here. And this couple here, they live in Jerusalem, and the young lady here, she used to be married to a Muslim man and was since divorced from that situation. And now this couple is married, both a wonderful Christian couple. And their desire is to reach people with the gospel, Muslim people with the gospel. So they came with us here and also into the West Bank where we were. And so this is, and he was taking names, you know, and phone numbers. Everybody has a phone, names and phone numbers of people that he had opportunity to share with in both of these places, in the Bedouin communities and in the West Bank. And we know there's going to be follow-up from this couple there, her to the women and he to the men, although we don't see a whole lot of men in either place for some reason. I'm not quite sure. I don't have a lot of pictures of the place that we were at in the West Bank, the city we were at, partly because they don't like you, for the most part, to take their pictures. And part of it was because we were busy in another part of the rooms, and so I couldn't take many pictures. But I put this picture up just so you can see the smiles on these people's faces. These are real people. These are a big help to us in this ministry. And so this couple, these two here, so this is Sally. She was our hygienist that came with us cleaning teeth. And this lady here, she teaches speech pathology in this clinic. I told you this is a clinic for disabled children. She teaches speech pathology in this clinic. And so they have now a relationship, and they're communicating back and forth. Just wonderful opportunity that they have. And so this is the director of the clinic, but the main thing here is that 80% unemployment in this city, and that's the case in most of the West Bank. A lot of the West Bank men used to work in Israel, but because of the war and such, they're not allowed in Israel anymore. And so a lot of the men are unemployed. And so this is in that clinic. The other picture, group picture, was in the Bedouin community. This one shows you in the West Bank. And again, the same couple with us there. We had opportunity to have ministry with the Chinese, I mentioned, in different places. This is in Beersheba, south of where we were in the West Bank. And this is actually a Korean pastor that has a ministry to Chinese men. And now the Lord has to this area has brought a lot of Indian contract workers and Sri Lankan contract workers, so a mixture. But this reminded me of the song "Bring Them In." You know that song. He was out on the street. They had a poster announcing our presence there to help them with medical and dental care. As people were walking by, he'd go out there with a poster and explain it and invite them to come in. And a lot of them actually did. And so we had medical care there as well as dental. I really am excited to have a little help with a hygienist now on some of our trips. And so I am doing fillings over here or extraction, and she's cleaning teeth there. In another location, with Chinese men. Here's the pastor of a Chinese church that we work with there, praying with some of the Chinese men. And the Chinese churches are very evangelistic, and you see some of the men from the churches sharing the gospel with the people that came. Very diligent about that. And as I mentioned, the Chinese are very open to hearing. And so this is another young man that attends that church in Jerusalem who is married to a Chinese woman, and he speaks Chinese. He came to translate for us and to do some of the evangelism. He sat with that man, I would say, for about an hour, sharing with him. And so we're thankful for that. And then one of our co-workers, Asher, who was actually going to be my replacement someday, Lord willing, sharing a gospel message with the group there. And then we had ministry in our hotel. The hotel we stay at actually allows us to have two conference rooms in their basement to treat people in the hotel. And so we set up our stuff there. And I mentioned that we needed a urologist. He's over here. This was on a kind of an off day. This man needed to see a urologist, and so he came that day. And unfortunately, I ended up assisting the urologist, which I never want to do again, just for your benefit. We treated, we're doing eyeglasses here and medical and dental care in our hotel, which was kind of nice. And this is the woman, the physician's assistant, Emily, sharing with this lady, and you can see very, very emotional. She sent an email after this encounter explaining that she had the first good night's sleep that night that she's had in years. And so praise the Lord for that. And then in another place with African workers, and you can see our team members sharing the gospel with them. Our medical doctor, this is a different medical doctor now, this is the second 2 weeks. Here he's treating the mother. Over here he's treating the baby of that mother that was there. And then again, sharing the gospel. Here this man has one of the bridge tracks there, and the doctor's sharing with him. And this is Joe, our pharmacist, same thing here, sharing the gospel with that man. And then the doctor here, medical doctor, sharing a gospel message to the group that was waiting there. So that's kind of what our ministry is all about there in Israel. We call it Israel. Our goal, again, is the West Bank. And so our plan for next year was to split our time between the northern part of the West Bank and that southern part or mid part around the city of Bethlehem. We don't know if that's going to happen, but the Lord knows. He knows what we'll be doing. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for opportunities to share the gospel with people around the world. And we do pray for Israel, for peace. We pray, Lord, that you would come soon and bring lasting peace. And so we pray that you continue to guide us as we reach out in that part of the world. And we pray you would bless the continuing time here today. Thank you that we can open God's word and study from it today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.